Hallelujah. Now, Father, we ask this morning for fresh revelation and insight in your word. Let every heart be stirred towards the knowledge of your Son, Jesus, and our eyes behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, this morning we'll continue from things we shared on Wednesday. We're looking at one desire. Hallelujah. One desire. You know, as believers, we must know what God sets out to do by putting together the local church. A friend of mine made this comment years back, and he let me see this fact about purpose in life. I think it was the late Dr. Miles Monroe that used to say that where purpose is not known, he says abuse is inevitable. So, I used to say this as well, that the most tragic experience a man, a believer, can have is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. That means you did it so efficiently, but you ought not to have done it at all. How many of you have ever written an exam and you thought the question was something else? I did a very good job on the wrong answer. Who's ever had that kind of experience? A very intelligent job. You did a very good job. But that was not the question. Even though you did so well, and there's no way the examiner will give you marks for answering the wrong question, because that was not what he asked. Sometimes we could just be all about what we think we should be doing, and sometimes what we suggest should be done. If you ask many believers, why should we go to church? You will find just about every other reason but what is in the word. You know? So what is that one desire? Was that looking at on Wednesday? Else you do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Glory to God. Now, look at Luke's Gospel 10, because I'm going to share with us and we're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Something happened in the house of Mary and Martha, where Jesus just visited with them. And the Bible says Martha received him into her house in verse 38, Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Pay attention. She heard his word. The word heard his word, that means he was preaching. Okay? That means Jesus was sharing the word. So she sat at his feet. Hallelujah. Now, when you hear sat at his feet, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone sits like this, then I sat at his feet. That's not necessarily. Sat at his feet means that you are learning. I'll show you what that means. I'm going to say, at your feet, oh Lord. You know, people sing one of those kind of songs and they thought it means to sit at someone's feet. I'll show you what it means. Look at Acts of the Apostles. Acts 22. Now, look at it. Verse 1. Men and brethren and brothers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when you heard he spoke in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily, Acts 22 verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at where? At the feet of what? Come on. At the feet of who? And taught according to the law. to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God and all this his days. So, basically, what does it mean? He learned at his feet. That means he was instructed by. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that the person sat down there and you sat at his feet. Is that very clear? Is that clear? So what it meant was that Jesus was teaching and Mary was paying attention. That's what it meant. Is that very clear? Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? Okay. Mary was learning. Okay. So, that's why I say he heard and heard his word. Martha was cumbered with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Be thou therefore that she help me. She's making food, as it were, for Jesus, just to entertain him. Okay. And then 41, Jesus answered and said unto her. Now, that's a very noble thing, to take care of Jesus. He's in your house. He will prepare his favorite meal and stuff like that. Very noble work, you know. But notice Jesus' response. Martha, Martha, for emphasis. Praise God. Doesn't mean Martha is her surname and Martha is her first name. It's emphasis. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Thou art troubled and careful about many things. I went to speak at a conference at the weekend, just from Thursday to yesterday. And I called the guy that was the protocol for me. He came, so he was doing, I said, young man, come here. I said, where were you seated when I was preaching yesterday night? He said, when I was outside trying to, I said, are you through? He was at the hotel. I said, go back to the meeting. Go and stay there. I'm not under attack. I'm fine. I have Pastor Lan is here. Sister Tolani is here. Another person that followed us. I said, where now? You go back and sit down. I didn't come here to be guarded. I came here to teach, to minister. You have to receive. So go back. Hallelujah. Because what he's doing is secondary. I called years back. I went to speak at a meeting like that. And there was a campus, so the sister's coordinator, the mama, who was the vice president of the fellowship, I didn't see her in the meeting. So I saw her, I said, what? Where were you? She said, just to make everything comfortable, we're cooking for you. What? I said, I came all the way from Lagos to eat. No, I didn't. I said, you'll have to understand why I will not eat the food. Because I didn't come here to eat. I had a home. When I go back, I'll still eat. Just like some of you will go for a conference and you spend more time sleeping during the conference and after it. Did you leave your home to come and sleep? Are your eyes will be closing and opening like you say, lose him and let him go. One thing is important. It's good to serve. It's good to, you know, take care of Jesus. Martha, 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 you are troubled about many things. But one thing, so the one thing, hallelujah, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One thing. It's not say one thing. You gotta locate what it is. At the end of your life, because whether you like it or not, one day your life is going to end. It's not a curse. Hallelujah. At the end of your life, which is nearer than yesterday, Some of them want to have things like this. But it's the truth. You will have to find out whether you did efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Or you majored on the minors. Are you there? Are you still there? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first," which I have interpreted to mean what? Seek ye only. Can you remember that? It's not first, then secondly. Seek ye only the kingdom of God. Paul, Philippians chapter 3. He said, "This one thing I do." Hallelujah. Look at that. One thing. Philippians 3. Verse 12. Sorry, verse 13. "But this one thing I do," the word "I do" is italicized, "forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth for those things that are before." Philippians 3 and verse 13. One thing. Someone say one thing. There must be, I think there's a sermon like that. One thing. Right? What? One thing. It's one thing. It's one thing. It's the World Changers Conference, I think 2013 or so. One thing. Look at your life and say, what is that one thing that I'm living for? That has an eternal value. That is, it transcends the earth. What is that one? So pay good attention. You know, when Jesus came into this world, he had miracles and signs and wonders which he was doing. The Bible tells us that our God anointed the Nazarene with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In Acts 2:22, he said he was singled out by God with mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. He did all that. The blind saw, the lame walked, the oppressed went free. But you know that that was not his purpose. Hallelujah. All that tended towards his purpose, but that was not his purpose. You know, many of us could have been carried away by those things because miracles, signs, and wonders bring popularity. Wow. Let's go to Jesus' meetings. Everybody go. So yesterday, do you know that? Hey, not just miracles. Do you know we all ate fish and bread free? We have to go to the, everybody does that. But you know that Jesus focused as he came. In Matthew's Gospel 1:21, the angel said to Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." To Joseph. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Hallelujah. His mission statement was just one thing. And no matter what activity you did in other things, that wasn't accomplished. You were a failure. "For he shall save his people," that's what the scripture says, "from their sins." Look at all the prophecies that were given about the time that he was born. Look at Luke's Gospel 2. All the prophecies about the time that he was born. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, everybody here, how many of you see Jesus Christ as your Savior? Sorry, it's a very funny question to ask in church, but I think we need to ask this kind of question. Let me see how you believe that. Raise your hands so loud. So high. Raise it like I'm not doing mine. That's not supposed to be something you're ashamed of. Is it your Savior? How many of you have Jesus as your Savior? Let me see your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, that means he purpose is your purpose. Right? Come on. What is dear to his heart is what ought to be dear to yours. Hallelujah. Come on. Am I making sense? Now, look at all the prophecies. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. That came about the time he was born. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Verse 11. For unto us the angel says this. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was is born. Which is Christ, a Savior. He calls him a Savior. Then in verse 40 says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward all men. Now, much later, or earlier on in chapter 1, not chapter 2 actually, Elizabeth spoke like this. Blessed art thou, verse 42, among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it's me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. And then verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That was what he was called. He was called the Savior. He came to save. In Luke's Gospel again, chapter 1. Chapter 2, sorry. Now, when he was brought for what they call the purification, the dedication in the temple, look at what they said again. Simeon. Simeon says in verse 29, Lord, now lest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Hallelujah. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Salvation. Luke's Gospel again, chapter 2. The woman who was called the Anna, daughter of Pharaoh. In verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake into all that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So the purpose of Jesus was very clear. When John came, John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 21 says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of where? The whole world. So Jesus had a singular purpose. Hallelujah. You follow this? He had a singular purpose. His purpose was salvation. Jesus did not come to speak to businessmen. Jesus, because businessmen existed without him. Jesus didn't come to turn Israel around and say, we the church, we are taking over. The economy of Jerusalem has gone down. It's the fault of the church. Why? The church is not praying. Isn't that interesting? So what if you find economies that are doing fine? That means the church was praying. What if in those economies they are not Christians? That means the church was praying for them. Does it make any sense? Jesus had a singular purpose. Are you following me this morning? Let me ask again. How many of you see Jesus as your Lord? It's good to ask those questions. You sure? Alright. So we're showing our Lord to us. Why was he born? Why was he born? To save from sins. That was why he was born. Right? Is there any other reason? Was that amongst other things? Was he amongst other things? Come on. He was born to save from sins, but among many other things. Was that it? Are you sure? Think about it, so that you can give a fast answer. He was born to save from sins and from economic hardship. Had that? Sure. You sure that was not it? He was born to save from sins and to restore people from emotional breakdown. That sounds nice. He was born to restore broken marriages. Was that it? No, check your Bible. It could be there. He wasn't born. He was born to make the Jews much more academic excellence than they were before he came. Was that it? No, what? He was born to save from sin. The prophet Ezekiel had said in Ezekiel 33 verse 11 that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, in the death of the sinner. He has no pleasure in it. So Jesus was what he came for that purpose. Look at Luke 19. The Christian life is so straightforward that you only have to complicate it all by yourself. Hallelujah. The Christian life is so straightforward. Luke's Gospel 19 verse 10. Watch this now. Are you there? Now Jesus got into the house of a wealthy man. The man is already wealthy. Even though you may have a problem with how the wealth came about, Zacchaeus. But see what Jesus said in Luke 19 verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Can we take verse 10 together? Let's go. To seek and to save that which was lost. Is he still consistent? Is he consistent? Come on, is he consistent? To seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. In Luke's Gospel 9, just some chapters before, Luke's Gospel 9, his disciples were so carried away that when some people opposed Jesus, they were stirred up with holy anger. Real holy anger. And they said, Lord, would thou that we call down fire from heaven to consume these ones, alright, even as Elijah did. And he said, know ye not what manner of spirit you are of? Let's take verse 56 together, Luke 9, let's go. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Come on, did you see that? Then where do churches that pray for people's destruction, where did they get it from? They will have a prayer meeting. Oh Lord, arise now. Are you not angry, Lord, at what they are doing to your church? Lord, let the heart arise and let the heavens meet it. And let there be trouble upon the face of the earth. You see people talk like that. But the question is, would you be serving Jesus if you pray like that? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Would you be serving Jesus? Let me ask you another question. I'm going to talk this in a second service. Do you have any prayer meeting from the book of Matthew down to Revelation that the prayer meeting was focused on praying for the nation, for transformation, for economic development and progress? Is there any prayer meeting like that? Why are you looking like me? Looking at me, sir. Was there any prayer meeting like that? No, you can look for. You know, I don't read the Bible as much, so you can show me. But let me ask you, did they have societal problems? Sure. There was tyranny. The Roman government held them bound. They were reporting to Caesar. Yet there was not a single series of teaching how to take our government back. Not one. There was nothing about the economy of Jerusalem. You won't find one verse of scripture like that from Matthew to Revelation. Everybody had one desire. Did you hear me? One desire. Not one. You know, it's nice to want the church to be like that. It's nice to want the church to look like that. But then, are we not concerned? Are we not concerned? It's like saying, is God not concerned? Are we not concerned? No way. We have to be concerned. This is our Jerusalem. You know, you can twist the Bible. I was teaching somewhere over the week and I said, it's as though the ticket to be a Pentecostal is know how to twist the scriptures. If you really want to be a Pentecostal, know how to twist the Bible. No, somebody was preaching this and he said, if you're looking for prayer from God, answer from God, you know, that you look for a scripture that covers your case. Pay attention. Then you meditate on that scripture. And I asked someone, I said, this is the mother of error. You now lift something out of context. You now begin to meditate upon it. You meditate upon it. Till it says exactly what was never said. Because imagine this, and hear this well. If you had the Bible before it was put in chapters and verses, what would you be meditating upon? The entire? Is this chapter and verses that's making you have rema? Imagine if the Bible was such that you had no comma, no full stop. Because that was how it was written. You just hold it from beginning to end. There won't be a place where I say, hold on. Hold on where? You'll have to study. Hallelujah. Like I said, it's as though to be a true Pentecostal charismatic, know how to quote the Bible out of context, and know how to twist it. I would say the Spirit told me that my own purpose, what is my purpose? My purpose to be a bridge. So that men will, I don't know. I'm in Christ now. Luke's Gospel 9. He said, for the Son of Man is come to this, not to destroy men's lives, but to save. Someone say to save. To save. Look at this. If there was somewhere you ought to know what's the purpose of believers in the church? If there's a book, it will be the book of Acts. Hallelujah. As you know, there are different ways you can study the Bible, depending on your mindset. If you're looking for power, and that's what, I want to see power, Lord, where is that be? There's no power, I want the power, power. Then you get a hold of the book of Acts. Because of your mindset, you are not ready to study the book of Acts, you are looking for power. Because you are not ready to study the book of Acts, what you are looking for is power. All you will see in there will be what you are looking for. Let me see how you understand what I'm saying. There was something we put on the new book. I don't know whether you've bought it, you have to. Faith in the Gospel of Christ. And we said, if you have a material gospel mindset, and you read Ephesians 4:28, where Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him walk with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. Now, years ago, because I was also a preacher of this kind of nonsense, where your mind will go to will be let him walk so that he may have. Because you were looking for materialism. He may have. So, oh, hallelujah. When we walk, we have. I said, we have. But you know that was not what he was teaching. Paul was teaching honesty. Not possession. Honesty and then sacrifice. Because all you need to do is read the previous verses. To know that he was dealing with conduct. Am I making any sense? I'm making any sense. From verse 26, 27, 29, 30, he was dealing with conduct.
No prosperity. But then your mindset could be, I'm just looking for a prosperity scripture that he may have. That was not what he was teaching.
Hallelujah. You haven't gotten that book, you haven't yet. The pastor read it a couple of days back and he couldn't let me wake up before he woke me up. He says, I see the word of God. He's explaining. What are you saying, sir? He said, ah, sir. Sir, I said, I'm listening to you. Because I told him, I said, did you know that there were three peculiar miracles of provision in the four gospels? I said, the turning of water to wine in John's Gospel chapter 2. Then the three peculiar miracles. Then the draught of fish, big catch in Luke's Gospel 5 and John 21. And then the multiplying of fish and bread. You can see Matthew 14 and then John 6. Three peculiar miracles of provision. Say yes. So did you notice that in the marriage at Cana, there was nothing mentioned about faith? That in fact, those people who took the wine did not even know how it happened. Am I making sense? So they just drank it. In fact, they thought that they reserved the wine. So they were not believing God. Oh Lord, as this wine is finishing, Lord, we say by your power of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to look for a scripture in Isaiah, and then the wine shall come from the stem. Nobody was doing anything like that. Jesus simply worked a miracle, and people received it, without even knowing that it was a miracle. Are you following this? In multiplying the five loaves and two fish, did anybody in the congregation believe Lord? As that boy gives the bread and fish to Jesus, we hold our hands in agreement. Hallelujah. That shall be torn. Was anything like that happening? No, no. Hallelujah. It wasn't mentioned. I said, now, what about the great catch? There's no faith involved. If I went, Peter cast his net, he said, oh Lord, don't go for me. I'm a sinner. I'm just leave me alone. I'm a sinner. My God. I said, no. Praise God. Then everybody look. I said, and nobody became a millionaire after those miracles. I think. Did anybody become a millionaire? No. Praise God. Is Jesus still your Lord? Is he your Lord? Sure. Is he your Lord? You know, you can make a Jesus out of the Bible that is not Jesus. You can create a Jesus that is not in the Bible and say, Jesus, the way I see Jesus. In fact, someone said one time, he said, Jesus was a millionaire. And I found that you have to be not just the devil, but you have to be the one who possessed the devil to believe that. Hallelujah. Is it wrong to be a millionaire? Nope. Jesus was not a millionaire. They are two different statements. Praise God. Don't make him a millionaire because you want to be a millionaire. Wasn't. So, his purpose was very clear. So, listen to what I'm saying. Look at the book of Acts. In Acts 1, 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, on Wednesday, we looked at a couple of scriptures here. Now, you can take the book of Acts And all you want to read out of it, which is the point, has the miracles and signs and wonders and say, my God, what is happening to the church? Why are we not seeing those things? Why are we? But really, why aren't you paying attention to the most important detail in the book of Acts? In Acts 2, after that, everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. I showed you on Wednesday. What was the most significant event? Acts 2, 42. Pay very good attention now. We're going to run through the book of Acts and you see something. Acts 2, 42. Sorry, 41. After Peter began to preach, there were more, pay attention now, there were more verses in the book of Acts dedicated to preaching of the gospel than miracles. There were more verses in the book of Acts dedicated to the preaching of the gospel than miracles. There were miracles. Many of them. But it wasn't given emphasis like the message that was preached. Who's following that woman? Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying here? There were more words. So, if you're a sincere student of the Bible, where should your attention be? In the gospel that was preached. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. And then they that gladly received this preaching were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about how many? About how many? 3,000. How about that? So, what was the most significant event in Acts 2? Oh, come on. What? The salvation of souls. Look at Acts 3. Acts 3 had the miracle of the crippled man at the beautiful, paralyzed man at the beautiful gate. The gate called Beautiful. And immediately, the miracle happened. The man was walking and praising the Lord. What happened? Peter began to speak. Follow this. From verse 12. He preached and preached unto chapter 4. I mean chapter 3. How many verses dedicated to the miracle? Just 6. Just 6 to the miracle. Or let's say, put together the events before and after. Put it at 11. Then look at how many verses were dedicated to preaching. From verse 12 to verse 26. From verse 1, chapter 4, again, look at chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Let's take it together. Albeit, many of them that heard the word believed. And the number of the men were about what? So what was the most significant event that day? 5,000 received Christ. The message of the gospel. So, look at chapter 4. And Peter continued to speak and to preach Jesus till they were threatened. And then they prayed that they may speak the word boldly in verse 29, chapter 4. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, there were miracles, signs and wonders worked. But chapter 5, verse 14, can we take it together? Chapter 5, 14, let's go. And believers were, the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of, oh, come on. So what again was the most significant event in chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira, or those that believe the gospel? Those who believe the gospel. In chapter 6, in those days, verse 1, now chapter 5 again, they were threatened not to preach. Okay, in fact, before chapter 5, look at 20, where Peter was put behind bars. The angel of the Lord, verse 19, let's take it together, verse 19 and 20, let's take it together. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hallelujah. So they were threatened not to preach. Look at verse 42. And daily where? Verse 42, let's say, what? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach who? So, what has been the most consistent thing there? The preaching of the gospel. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Because of that, look at chapter 6, verse 1. Let's take it. And in those days, which days? The days when they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What happened? Let's go. In those days, when the number of disciples was what? So what happened again? The number of disciples was what?
Multiplied.
Look at verse 7. Let's take verse 7 together. And the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in how? Greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Are you following this? Look at chapter 8. Now, chapter 6 went into 7 because that was when Stephen preached. Now, chapter 8. After Stephen was killed, what more time do we need to organize the Church of Jesus Unity Forum? And then we say, Christians for Human Rights. Give me some of you who've done those things before. Christians for Rights of the Jew. Christians for Human Rights Movement International. Everybody, we come together, all the pastors come together and sit down and say, what's going on? Are we going to keep quiet like this? And the unbeliever will take over the land. They just killed a reverend. Did you see the guy they killed? Stephen was a great man of God. We can't take it. What do we do? Let's show them we have political power in this land. One thing. Someone say one thing. Say one thing. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 8. After Stephen was killed. Verse 1. And devout men carried Stephen to his, verse 2, to his burial amid lamentation. Then look at verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. Therefore. Went everywhere to complain to the United Nations the persecution against Christians. They went everywhere on Facebook and they created a blog. What version do you use? They went abroad to go and collect green card. Nope. Preaching the word. Consistent. Hallelujah. Preaching the word. And Philip went down to Samaria, just one of them, and preached Christ unto them. Preach what? Did he go to gather support for the persecuted? Brethren, you can't stay here because you are enjoying, we are not enjoying. You can't stay here and you go and do IDP camps. And they carry, well, let's get reliefs. Or let's get US to back the church in Nigeria. Anything like that. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking at me. We're reading the Bible, aren't we? What other book do you believe from? Is there another book you believe from? If we write a book, for example, all our books are secondary to the Bible. I hope you know. You must never use any of our books over scriptures. Scriptures are the authority that we have to write. Is that clear? Watch this. And the people want to call gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look at verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. Verse 12. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Let us take verse 14 together. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Are you there? One thing. Don't say one thing. What else happened? After they had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 23, and they, when they had testified, what did they do? Verse 25, preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Then Philip now met the Enoch in the wilderness, what you call the wilderness desert. And he began to preach to him. Look at verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's take verse 40 together. But Philip was found at Azotus and preached through, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. It's like everywhere they went. Are you following me? Everywhere. Even on the way to the crusade. You get it? That means you're flying to, say, you're flying to United States of America, you went through Dubai. And then he says as they got to Dubai, they preached there first, before they finally go to the United States. You're going to Kenya, you flew through, South Africa, or Johannesburg. You go to Johannesburg and you preached. Hallelujah. Years ago we went on this missionary trip to Yamoussoukro. Yamoussoukro is just outside Abidjan. And we had to pass through the West African nations. And in every nation we got to, we had different missionary trips that we did not plan. Because that's your mission. Don't on your way to the meeting, go and do business meeting. It's all for the kingdom. It's not for the kingdom, it's for your kingdom. He sent you to preach. Hallelujah. Are you following this now? Look at chapter 9. Are you learning something? Chapter 9. At every time a miracle was worked, did you observe? It always led to the preaching of the gospel. Every time. There was no singular miracle in the book of Acts that was not accompanied either before it or after it, the preaching of the gospel. Acts 9:35. It was after the man who was sick of the palsy was healed, and all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him. And what did they do? Acts 9:35. What did they do? They turned to the Lord. Acts 9:35. Acts 9:42. After the woman also who was dead was raised from the dead. Acts 9:42. Let's take 42 together. It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Acts 10:43. When Peter preached to give all the prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Yet Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Men were saved. Acts 11. Are you following this? Are you following this? You know, you can ignore all this in the book of Acts, but these were the most significant events. The most significant events in the book of Acts was salvation. Why? That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. Many folks say, Lord, show me your will. They're actually trying to look for what they want to do. Lord, I want to know the will of God for my life. What else are you looking for? What is the will of God for God? Is that question okay? Now, many of you use Facebook. If Jesus were to be your friend, or was to be a Facebook subscriber, and then they ask him in his status, what is on your mind? You know what he would write? What would he write? You don't know what he would write? What would he write? Huh? Preaching the gospel. Nice. What would he have written? That all men be saved. That would be Jesus' status all the time. Is that true? He won't change it. What's on your mind? Elections. So why, Jesus? We can't allow sons of Ishmaelites to rule us anymore. How would Christians gather and they are praying over elections? And they are prophesying. Oh, Father, we see this nation. We want a man of your form. A man after your heart to govern Nigeria. you all lost your way along the way. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Someday I'm going to explain this to you more. It's in law in Genesis. I taught in law in Genesis. Human government is exactly what it is. Human government. It will always remain that. Democracy is not the will of God. That's why we are preaching. Or else you say, well, what does the world want? Leave us alone. Isn't that democracy? Hallelujah. We say leave us alone. Praise the Lord. Many times in the Bible, the majority were wrong. Is that not true? Okay, now Acts 12. Okay, I read Acts 11, 21. Okay, very fine. Acts 12, 24. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 13, verse 48. Verse 48. Let's take it together in 49. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Let's take verse 49 together. Boy, you should know that I'm reading every chapter now. Why are you slow? Verse 49, let's go. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Hallelujah. Throughout everywhere. Acts 14. We'll read from verse 1 to 4. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Hallelujah. So, again, let me ask you, what is so consistent in the book of Acts? Huh? Preaching and faith in the gospel. If there's any pattern the church should follow, it's this pattern. Why? Why was that so consistent? Because there's just one desire. Don't say one desire. Say one desire. Don't say, oh! You know that song, Blessing sang earlier on. Nothing. I give my heart to you just to live by your word. I give my heart to you. And then you just see the one thing. I give my heart to you. And what you're thinking about is your sin. Oh. Yes, do your will. Yes. And you're thinking, some are thinking about the man that gifted them Saturday night. He finally sent a text. It's over. Then I'll give my heart to you. I've been broken, I've been shot, the Lord bend me back. Though you are crying, but you are just a self-centered human being. That is not his will. You're only crying over your loss. Or your emotional pain. I know some people can say, I now want to serve the Lord. I want to be close to Him. Just to be close to Him. Then tell them we're going to evangelism. Eh. Immediately after the service. Ah, what? I've already served Him. How? I was in church. To serve Him. Hallelujah. What is His desire? That all men be saved. So if you are serving Him, what should be your desire? That all men be saved. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And they preached. Look at verse 21 to 23, Acts 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and they had taught many, they returned to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Acts 15, verse 35. And Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. Acts 16, verse 14. a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that he attended unto the things which had been spoken. In other words, someone received the gospel. Someone received Christ. And just about after that, watch this. Paul and Silas were put behind bars. And what did they do? You know, at no time was anybody put behind bars because he spoke against the government. You observe that? At no point was anyone punished because he did not like the kind of governor in his state. Everyone was punished because they were preaching the gospel. No one was punished because he said, I have a dream. They are from Damaturu to Ibadan to Okigwe and Yeragua. One Nigeria. Who sent you? Hallelujah. We must be what? Nigeria goes about. My people goes about. Nigeria goes about. Andrew, no check out. Say what? Do you know the song? That song was 1986 or so. 85 or 86. My people goes about. Nigeria goes about. But you know, tell my daughter, Nigeria goes in the church. There's just one nation recognized by God. It's called the church. Hallelujah. Can come from any nation, whether it is Oduduwa Republic or Biafra, doesn't matter. Or you can even call it the Kenya nation. As long as you receive Christ there. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. Glory to God. Some Christians are fighting over Biafra. Some are fighting over Oduduwa Republic. Christians. And they are praying about it. Christians. And you say, let's go and preach. Wait, let me finish my Oduduwa meditation first. I want Biafra first. I want Arewa. You are a backsliding Christian. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did I say you should not agitate for that? No, you are free to, but don't think you are doing the will of God. That is your own will that God allows you to exercise. Even if it is in vanity. Acts 16. Then the jailers were of verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, and thy house. Salvation was all over the book of Acts. All over. Acts 17, verse 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among whom was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. All through the book of Acts. Acts 18:4. They reasoned and sing every Sabbath and passed through the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was present in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Acts 18, verse 8 and 9. What happened again? It says, Crispus and the chief ruler of the synagogue believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. What the Lord told Paul, he said, for I am with thee, and no man shall set thee on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Acts 19 again. Verse 8. Disputing and pursuing things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 19:8. Acts 19:10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. You can go on and on. Till Paul was taken into captivity. Acts 21. Acts 22. Acts 23. When he was brought before Festus and Agrippa, the Bible says, he opened his mouth and began to preach such that they said, you nearly make me a Christian. Hallelujah. That means under, he was in jail. He didn't say, brethren, no matter what I'm going through, don't cry. Israel will be free. Nigeria will be free. We'll be free.
Or the God that I serve will fight Agrippa.
No. He preached unto them. Because that's one desire that Jesus had. Even when he was in captivity in Acts 28 verse 23 and 34, he preached. What is God's desire today? What is his will? That all men may be saved. To come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen carefully. The local church, like Saints Community Church today, the purpose of the local church is to help you carry out that desire. The local church is not where you learn business or how to make soap. Very ridiculous things we have been doing. How to make soap. I was so blessed today in the service. What did you learn? How to make soap. What a great service. What did you learn? MMMM. That's what I learned in today's service. What else did you learn? Yahoo, Yahoo. Eventually, I think. But when you say, I learned to go out and talk to people about Christ. I learned how to pray so that the word of God can grow in my estate, in my town, in my city. I learned how I am that ambassador of the gospel. Then you were in the church that Jesus built. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are here this morning and there's not one person in the kingdom of God today because you preached, you have not started living. Not one person. So say, but then I just got saved last week. Doesn't matter. The apostles did not take 6 months before they started preaching. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Do you believe it? Do you believe that if men do not believe in the gospel of Christ, do you believe that they will go to destruction? Do you believe it? Do you believe? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when we preach the gospel and men believe, they are saved? Then why are you not doing it? Why? Why is your heart not in it? Praise the Lord. This morning we're going to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. And as we pray, we're going to stir ourselves in the preaching of the gospel. We're going to pray. Many of you are going to pray for boldness this morning. Boldness to preach the word as you should. You're going to also pray for those who are in different parts of the country. In the Boko Haram territories, for example, who are there preaching the gospel. You're going to pray that they are delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That the word of God will run and have a free course. You know this as I close. That you will hardly find a prayer for yourself, for your personal needs in the epistles. Go check it. Go read it. There are just about 3 scriptures that talk about praying for personal needs. And those 3, you will have to struggle to see it. All the prayers were more focused on the advancement of the gospel among us. Hallelujah. Some people believe that Nigeria has a praying church. Maybe. It's true. But what do we pray about? Maybe. It's possible. I've not been to many churches, but what exactly do we pray about? Enemies? Economic breakthrough? Personal miracle? That's what we pray about most of the time, from what I see. I might be wrong. But how many prayer meetings are dedicated? for the advancement of the word of God in this nation? How many prayer meetings are dedicated for the Pauline prayers? How many prayers are dedicated for the growth of revelation knowledge in our nation? Where is your heart? Is your heart in that one desire? Desire of God for all the nations. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You bow your heads. Before we pray, I want you to ask yourself, how dedicated are you to the cause of Christ in this earth? And make a change this morning in your heart. Do that. We're about to pray for that one thing that touches the heart of God. But I want to ask you, does it touch your heart? Begin to pray for